Welcome. This is week 6 of Working with the Law with transformational life coach, Christy Carotti.
Okay. Hello and welcome. We are studying the law of increase. First, I'm actually going to set the tone with us. So if we can all take a moment right now and just set the tone with our gratitude. So I'll pause for a moment here while we set our gratitude, something that you're grateful for. There's so much to be grateful for, but just move into that vibration of gratitude with a thought. Grateful for the day, grateful for friends and family, grateful for my health. And then move into that place of proud of, something that you are proud of that you have done. And more than the thing itself, feel the vibration and mix that vibration with the vibration of gratitude, something that you're proud of that you have done. And it really is an indicator to the quantum field, to the universe, to the divine, whatever it is that you choose to call it, that you are open to moving in the direction of your dream, that you're proud of something that you have done, not proud of someone else, but proud of something you have done. And this, along with gratitude, sets a vibrational match of receptivity, of allowing, of abundance. This frequency of gratitude plus proud of is a very high frequency vibration. So we are talking about the law of increase. And I just wanted to do a little review first. So there is a series of 4 laws that are really connected, and this is the tail end of those 4, so that I think today bringing those together is a really great concept and place to be. And it starts with the law of attraction, and the law of attraction, just as a reminder, is that our thoughts create our experience. And so whatever is in our thoughts, that's what we create. And the second is the law of supply. And that the law of supply is merely stating that it's all available to us. There are no limitations. Now, we're going to find there's actually a little bit of a contrary to that when we get to the law of sacrifice, but it's a good take on it. But virtually, there is the thinking stuff, and our thought in that thinking stuff produces the thing that is thought in it. There's no limitation on that. The only limitation that we get to is on our own experience, our beliefs, our buy-in to the status quo or our past beliefs, and you guys know all this. And then the law of giving, I really see the law of giving as how are you holding things? Are you holding them very tightly, or are you, because with a tight hand, you cannot receive. And so that's how the law of giving really operates. It's like you open your hand, you give out, you empty it, so that things can come back into it. And then we get to what we're going to talk about today, the law of increase. And it's really an interesting concept. You know, how can we have the law of increase when it's all already there? And how that works is in conjunction with the law of giving. We are, as we open our hand, as we give out, we open our hands and we're able to receive more. And another part of this is just like bodybuilding. You know, the more we do reps, the stronger we get, the more repetition we go through learning this stuff and getting this stuff, the stronger we are to hold this. So the more able we are to receive as well. So the law of increase. Marion Bob and Raymond Halliwell talks about the law of increase as being the law of praise. And, you know, we talk about being a person of increase, And that is the idea and the concept that when we go out in the world, that people, by being in our presence, experience an increase in their life. And how do we do that? It's generally through kindness, through an outward energy of a high vibration to the other person. Think about that in the idea of praise, to give praise. So what do you want to change in your life? Think about it right now. You could even have a list. You know, you might even write these things down. What do you want to change in your life? So if we take this law of increase and think about praising it, now praising it with our heart, not praising it because, oh, this is a process that's going to allow us to make that change. It must come from the heart. Okay, and I want you to all feel this. This is a vibrational frequency here. The vibration, the law of increase. And see, it piggybacks really nicely on the law of receiving, that as we give, we receive. We're in that recycling system, that it continually moves, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. But our action in the law of receiving is to give. Our action, what step can I take in the direction of my dream? Our action, choosing that action in a giving motion, actually starts that flow of receiving, giving and receiving. It can be in kindness. It can be in things that you do. It can be in money, as in tithing, be any of those things. But the law of increase is about really moving, so it's almost like the next level up is praising everything. Like, find that place in your heart that you can praise everything. When you praise something good, that's the shortest route to increase. We want to train our minds to praise, and that's why we do our gratitudes and proud of. We want to reward ourselves for the proud of, for the things that we do out there, so that we continue to praise. That is a form of praise, to say what you're proud of. Holywell says praise is an avenue or prayer through which the law expresses itself. So actually, you are using the law. You're not activating it. So it's not a thing that you're outside of. You're in it, and you're in the law of increase. You're in the flow of things. And by praising it, it just opens up the channels to receiving that even greater. And as we know, it's all about vibration. And so we want to expand our vibration, whether it's praise of ourselves or praise of those around us. But it's the vibration, right? You're creating. I love the hum in the airport here. It's just reminding me of a vibration. And, you know, an airport has that travel vibration, that, you know, excitement and little hum of all the places that we get to go. And it doesn't necessarily just double. There is not a necessary formula to how much when you praise, how much increase you receive. However, I think that the more sincere, the more authentic the praise is, and that's what I was talking about, kind of the vibration of praising something to get more, like that's got a very low vibration because that comes out of lack or need. But praising just out of gratitude, praising out of loving this life, praising to be a part of this integral system, that is a high vibration, and that can not only double but multiply, you know, just like my story about tithing in graduate school on $1,500, tithing $150. I dropped that in the basket not to give, not to get back, but I knew I would get back because I knew how the law was. And it was such a sense of gratitude and just kind of someday I'm going to find the exact word for it. It was like jauntily. I just dropped it in knowing that the law would respond back to me. And as a result, it was more than tenfold. It was hundredfold. Like I tithed 115 and I received $15,000 scholarship. Is it just from that one act or action? It's from the fact that I was living my life from that place, and it was an extreme gratitude for being able to. I had no idea how I was going to pay for private graduate school, but I was just grateful that I was there. And then we come back to the idea of the open hands. Like, if we are going to receive the outpouring of this universe, of this space, of this place, just the idea of letting go the grip of what we think out in the outside world is our source. And knowing that the greater source, that we are always supported, that we all are always nurtured, that we are always provided for. And the more we open our hands to receive that, that means we have to let go of the fear that grips us when we think that we are limited to what we have to receive. So we need to build, I think at the core of all of this work is always our self-image. You know, being here at this work for the last 5 days, what comes up for everybody? When did their paradigm show up? It's always about their self-image, that they don't believe, you know, it's like, oh, I'm the great exception to the rule. I'm the great exception to, and I hit it. I hit it several times this week. Yesterday was really, really funny. So I woke up in the morning thinking that I actually knew that our class was today, and I was just going to put on some of my teaching material, listen to it, you know, get it in me more. And then somehow through the course of the morning, I started getting it in me that it was actually yesterday. And so then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in Boston and I need to go find a quiet place. And my friend Cher that was with me, she's like, oh, okay. And we went into the Marriott and I found this really quiet place. And, you know, I have a lot of stuff going on in my mind, trying to manage everything. It gave me some time. I found a quiet place to check in with the hospital and take care of some things and talk to my dad. And then I'm sitting there and it's about, see, it's 11:30 when I start the call here, you know. So it's about 11:30 and I go to get on the call. And I had just told my dad, no, it's not Sunday, it's Monday. And I'm sitting here in this quiet place all ready to call in to the call. And I go, this is the wrong day. So just so you guys know, you're so loved that I had that whole time set aside for you. And then I just started beating the heck out of myself. Oh, my gosh, how come I can't keep it together? How did it, you know, and it's like, okay, this is the work. This is the practice. What do I need to do to stop and pause and to do the work myself? Who do I know I am? What am I? And I went downstairs to meet up with my friend, and this woman that we had kind of touched bases but not really connected with had just walked into the hotel lobby of the Marriott. We weren't staying at the Marriott. That was just a hotel nearby where I went to find a quiet place. And there was this woman, and she ended up spending the day with us. And this morning, actually, just before I got on the call with you, I thought, how powerful. I realized she didn't want to be alone. And how powerful was she to create, to run into us? And so then we traveled with her, and then we split up again. She wanted to go do this and this. And then we did the trolley tour, you know, like one day in Boston, how to get the most out of it. And we got back on the trolley. She'd been long gone, and we thought she was off in a different place. There she was on the trolley again, a different time. I mean, we just kept connecting, and I finally realized that she was so powerful that she called us into her experience. And she put that, I'm just kidding, she put that thought into me that the class was this Monday so that everything could unfold like that. I mean, who knows? But the idea is that we want to increase our praise for ourselves and develop our better self-image. And we need to have enough of our self-image that when we get squeezed, when somebody tells us that we're not good enough, when we have chaos or lose something that we feel was kind of important to us, that we have inside of us the knowingness of our divinity, that when we get squeezed, what comes out of it is a positive self-image, at least enough to reset like I did yesterday. So I just went, oh, great, this is all perfect. It works out great. And I got to kind of look at the idea that we got to sit and have lunch with her. It was very interesting. You know. So always to move to that better self-image. We want to praise with our hearts. We want everything that comes across our lips and our mouth and everything to be praise, to be goodness, to be that high vibration. And I will tell you, it's been a little challenging to be in Boston. And they really do live up to their reputation as not always being kind. And I was kind of short and snotty with somebody yesterday. They were walking four down the sidewalk, and this woman wouldn't even move to allow us to even go single file by her. And I got really kind of snarky. The little teenager emerged at me, and I actually kept my course, and I kind of bumped into her, and I said, I guess we don't even share sidewalks here in Boston. And I didn't like that about myself, so I replayed it in my head, and I just went, what could have been the most powerful if I had the nerve? And I will say that I don't always know that I have the nerve, but I love that I played this image in my head, and I have that image of myself seeing her coming and just saying, excuse me, can I ask you something? You know, and stop her and say, can I ask you something? Can I ask why you're not sharing the sidewalk, or if there's something that I, you know, I don't know what exactly, but just kind of like replaying it in my mind and saying, how could I have still accomplished the same thing and have the goodness in me and still acknowledge it? And maybe somehow that touches her life. And the trick of this is just like Mary asked the Dalai Lama, how can he continue to be loving towards the people of China when they have done what they've done to his people and religion and so forth? And he said, these are my sacred friends. And so he learns a way to praise or to love or to be in that frequency even towards his enemy. And Lincoln said, somebody told Lincoln that he should do something about his enemies. And he said, well, if I turn my enemies into friends, then I don't have enemies anymore. So if we can take anything that's out of place or out of discord in our experience and put praise on it, this is a law. This isn't a maybe. This is a law. It must change. So what thing do you want to change? Maybe it's the operations of your business. Maybe it's how you feed your family dinner. Maybe it's, you know, so many things. What is it that you want to change? Praise it. Praise it from your heart. And it says in this chapter, be grateful for the very least of things, and the most will come to you. And that's why I really wanted you to think about, what do you want to change? Even the small things, what do you want to change? It's important to have your vision and to believe in your vision. And if you have that clear endpoint, it must become so. And the only thing that keeps it from becoming so is when your belief wavers. So to be real clear on the end point, it's not the end of the end, but an end point, and to be able to hold that vibration through the process. So what is the step that you can take? Something that you're a little bit scared of, what is a step that you can take in the direction of changing that event? What is something that's a little bit up for you with a bit of a rattle? So then let's make it easy to take care of this, whatever that means. It can be easy. Can you entertain that idea? You don't need to know how. So feel what it would feel like to have it be easy. Okay, you got that feeling? Okay, do something to ground that feeling. What can you do to ground that feeling? Either touch a place in your body, think of an image, something that will allow you to come back to that feeling of it's easy. It could be the sound of my voice saying, it's easy. So when you feel that it is a struggle, difficult, anything, you hit the pause button and you replace it with, I don't know how, but it's easy. Whatever the outcome. So this is just a boogeyman. A boogeyman is approached because you have begun making a decision. Okay, and things are going to come out of the woodwork to try and dissuade you to distract you. And then they call it Decon 5, to hit your central nervous system in fight or flight. Okay, mm-hmm. These are the three things that come up when we make a decision. Dissuasion, distraction, and fight or flight. And our job in that is to become aware and say, oh, that's just the old paradigms fighting for their lives. And I don't need that anymore because it can be easy. It is easy. I don't know how, but it is easy. And I'm going to feel that tone of ease. The decision to just take care of it has already released an energy in that direction, and you don't know what else is going to happen to make this be easy. This is a quote by Mary Morrissey, "You are today where your thoughts have brought you." And the thing I want to mention about that is that I am so grateful that I am able to be in this work and to get the training that I get from this amazing organization. I mean, the training that we get through this program is like 5-star caliber, like multi-million dollars worth of training. And that for you as well, you have through your thoughts up to today brought this to you through me and through your decision. And so I really want to concretize that this is the point in time that you are at. Because of your thought, you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. And staying in this work, and I'm proud of staying in this work and being able, I'm proud that I do the work of helping people transform their lives. So we have our training calls are at 3:00 on Tuesdays, and then we have another call with Mary at 5:00 on Tuesdays. And the same thing happens on Thursdays. And so there's always that hour in between. And, you know, I always think, oh, I could recopy my notes or anything, but I almost need to let this stuff land. You know, I take notes during and I'm in the work and I almost need to let this stuff land. And so I was talking to my friend about this because she's in the same and we're talking about it. And I said, you know, I'd just like to do something with that hour, but it almost can't be about my work, and Aaron's in a class, and Jerry goes and picks up Aaron, so they don't get home till 5. And the thing that happens right before that is that we all start scurrying around. I will admit that one of the areas that we have to work on in our family structure is meals, mealtime. We sit down and eat together, but it takes us a while to get figured out what we're going to put on the table and everything. And it's like this scurry. What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? And then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, because I go on this call from 5 to 6 and the guys don't get home until 5:15 or 5:30 and they're waiting for me to get off the call and they'll often prepare dinner or whatever. All of a sudden, I mean, this thing sounds simple to some of you to be a mom, and probably it would be one of the things I'd go back and change, that I would be better at feeding my family. And it's okay. And I had an inspired moment today. I'm going to get the guys to agree, and we're going to do shopping ahead of time on Tuesdays and Thursdays instead of leaving it, because I've always left it up to them. Okay, you guys, I have this call from 5 to 6. It's up to you guys. What if I took that hour and I put it into this thing that I wish that I could change, which was feeding my family, doing it in a better way? That is one small thing that I can do to make a change. You know, instead of just saying, well, I never did it. And so it was through being grateful for the little things, and greater things will come to us. You know, and so just taking the moment to think of what are some of the small things that we can change. And this wasn't even asking to change the direction of feeding my family. It was like, what do I do with that hour? Praise this situation. So how do you, when you go into the grocery store and you want to be a person of increase at the register there with that person, not just what you say, but what do you take on in your physical being? You put on attitude of paying attention to it. You don't ignore it. You do things that allow you to enjoy it. It's not difficult, but that it is perceived to be difficult. It's like saying, I don't know how, but I know this is a blessing in my life. I don't know how, but this is good. Anything, you know, praise the place that you live. This is a big puzzle that we're putting together here, and you don't throw all the pieces down at once and they all fit into place. You build it a little bit by little bit by little bit. And some days, you know, I have a puzzle out on the table often, and some days I never get to the puzzle. Other days I get back to a portion of it. And it might be if another day it'll be the orange, and some days it's both or all. And then the closer you get to the end of the puzzle, the quicker the pieces go in. One of the things that we're going to come back to here and one of your life work for this week is really to go back to that asset list. You probably haven't visited in a while. Just be sure that you write down all of the assets that you have that you are.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.